Welcome, my friends, to a new interview of the week with Moncho Camaro from Cuéntame USA. Today we're going to talk to, we're going to have a pleasant conversation with a multi-talented instrumentalist and vocalist in many things, multi-talented. His name is Nicholas Eisner, but it's well known by his artist name. It's called Alice Gift. So we're going to talk to him about many things because it's really very interesting to talk to this person, I think, because I have listened to his music for a while now, and it's really caught my attention. And before I start, I'm going to publish the 10 best records that I listened this year. And one of them is Alice Gift, the one he published not long ago, Alice Ist Gift, which is the reason that I tried to get in touch with him, because I really love that album. And it's one of my favorites. It's the one I listened this year. It wasn't published this year, but I listened to it this year and it was great. So we got Alice, no more bullshit. We got Alice, Nicholas, across the ocean, and I think in Germany. I'm not sure, but I think it's in Germany.
Let's keep it blurry.
Yeah, it's in Germany someplace. Maybe not, maybe in France. Who knows? How you doing, Nicholas, today?
Hello, Jose. I'm doing fine. Thank you very much for this invitation. And thank you for being part of your top 10 of this year.
Yes.
That makes me very happy.
Well, he deserves it. My taste is all over the place, but I think I got a good ear, and when it goes in my ear and stays for a while, it means it's good music. If it just disappears out of my brain, it's just one more. So we're going to talk about going back in the past, Nicholas, a little bit, because I always start in the past, you know.
Without past, there is no present. So
So we're going to find out a little bit about Nicholas, because he's described as a French and German artist. And you were born in France. Is that correct, Nicholas?
I was actually born in Germany, but I grew up in France and Germany. So I'm actually a cultural person. We call it European identity here. I grew up at the French-German border, so I feel neither French, neither German. I feel something in between, actually. Yeah. Hmm.
So are you, I guess you are a trilingual, at least trilingual language speaker?
Yeah, I'm not a native English speaker, but it's okay. I guess for doing an interview, it might be enough.
Yeah, but you speak English, French, German, what else?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Americans, they only speak one language. So, you know, usually. So tell me about, let's go back to your neighborhood where you were born. What were you listening to? Was music special in your neighborhood, or was it play a big role in your house, or really not that much?
No, in my family, we don't listen to music. Not so much. And like my mother, for instance, she loves silence a lot. So maybe I did go into the music world by contradiction to her desire of silence. No, there was not much music in my neighborhood, in my family. I guess I did catch up with music. It was my first friends I had at school, and who introduced me to, I don't know, Nirvana, for instance, and stuff like this. Then then came up the whole alternative scene from the US with Sonic Youth, Pavement, and all these guys, Beck, Smashing Pumpkins, and same on the UK side with all the Britpop stuff going on. Hmm. I was really much into this as well.
Hmm. So it's not like when you are a little kid and you see video clips of some idols, and you never dreamt about being one of them when you were really a teenager? Or you said, I really like it. I want to be maybe get involved in music as a lead singer or player or anything.
Maybe there was something like Michael Jackson, I think, that was like this huge star thing that it was almost like a comic character, like a superhero character. Maybe that was the beginning of something that germed my life, yeah.
So when you moved to Berlin, were you there before? Do you have a family over there? What was the reason that you moved to Germany? Is that the French scene wasn't the one you really enjoyed that much?
Yeah, there's something true about that. So as I'm talking about my friend and Velvet Condom bandmate Olivier, we were living both together in France in the same flat, and when we started the band Velvet Condom,
right,
and we did have quite a lot of invitation to play live in Germany, and we found out that actually there was a bigger scene in Germany. There were more people understanding our music over there, and at some point, yeah, we thought, okay, there's maybe now an opportunity to move over to Germany. And I think there was no other option than going to Berlin, because Berlin has this, it is Germany, but at the same time, it's not Germany. It's something, it has still a very island-like mentality here.
So you felt like you were a perfect fit for that type of environment, I guess?
Yes. Exactly. And a lot of stuff that influenced Velvet Condom came from Berlin. Not even German artists, but also international artists like Depeche Mode or Nick Cave or David Bowie, who all came here to record stuff and did have this typical Berlin vibe and sound that we wanted to catch as well a little bit.
Yeah, I always, when I was young, Berlin was always like something very far from where I was, from Spain. But when I listened to some Bowie records, you know, the trilogy, they call it, you know, the Heroes and Low, and Berlin was like something very theatrical, I could say, when I was listening to those albums. Very, you don't know, imagining many things about Berlin and all the night life, you know. So I always thought of going there and see what was going on. But during the, I guess after the Berlin Wall, you know, everything changed a little bit, right? It wasn't the same, I guess. But when you went, there was no Berlin Wall anymore, I guess, right?
No. Berlin Wall came down in 89.
Right.
And I moved to Berlin 30 years later, something like that. So, right. But still, you can feel the heaviness of the story here about that. I mean, you don't... It's difficult to imagine the wall here because everything seems to be so well blending, melting together. And so it's very hard to imagine that there was something that divided the city so much. Mm. But you can feel, you can still feel this, that Berlin, as I said before, has this, was cut from the rest of the world. West Berlin, I'm talking.
Right.
And East Berlin as well at some point, because it was part of the big Soviet empire. So it was cut from the Western world, let's say.
That's right. Like that.
And you still can feel it. I mean, we are very well integrated now in the Western capitalistic world now, that's for sure. But still, it has something specific here. It will always stay, I think.
It has a substance. Yeah. So your previous band, Velvet Condom, was formed in 2005. Is that correct? More or less?
Yeah, more or less. Exactly.
Yeah. And when did you start playing guitar? Was that your first instrument that you try learning, or you really started with other instruments, piano?
No, I started with the guitar, and I always did stick to the guitar. That is my main instrument from the beginning. I started when I was like 15, and I did take lesson at some music school. And then there was at the end of the year, there was like a music school show where we did perform songs on stage. So that was my first stage experience. And there were like 20 guitar players and 10 drummers, but no one wanted to really sing. Someone had to sing the songs also. And I was like, okay, I can do this maybe. And I did sing the Bullet with Butterfly Wings from Smashing Pumpkins live. And I felt from this moment on then that I wanted to be a singer as well. And that never changed.
Before I forget, you posted a video, or a photo with a bunch of pedals. It caught my attention because there was a bunch of them, and some of them I really like, the fuzz pedal. That pedal, you know, it's been around for like 40 years or so, and it has taken a good beating. Seems to me like you really use that pedal a lot. It seems like worn out. Yes, the paint.
I did use it a lot because it's really noisy, and I like the noisy aspect of music. I like when melodies and noise melt together.
Yeah, because
this is why I love bands like Jesus and Mary Chain, for instance, or even Sonic Youth, who are really, really good songwriters. It's all hidden in the noise,
right?
But when you cut out the noise, then you feel okay. There's a lot of good songwriting.
Yes, which you do really well. Also, good songwriting. The band was it was like a mixture, I guess, Velvet Condom, a mixture of synth pop, a lot of synthesizers, but the harsh, noisy guitars also. And you always put like a little glamour, I guess. You got a lot of elegance. I don't know. It's like, to describe you, the videos I've seen, it's like a lot of glam. I don't know. Maybe a little Roxy music at the beginning, you know, with Brian Ferry and Brian Eno when he was young. He had a good hair, set of hair before. And he really looked cool in the keyboards.
Yes, the hair period of Brian Eno is coming.
Yeah, the hair period. Like, he looks like me now, no hair whatsoever. But there is a lot of that. I don't know, Mark Boland, the late 70s. It's like your music is always being a little like cooking different ingredients. And you're at the end, it's like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but always in the rock and roll circle, I guess we could say. I was going to ask you, when did you meet Obert Olivier? Was it in school when you met him?
No, it was a little later.
Oh, it was later.
So I'm going to go back to what you said.
Yeah.
Just right now, I come from a very guitar, rock, classic background musically, and I only discovered electronic music quite late, like when I was in my 20s, and I met Olivier in beginning of 2000 in Strasbourg. I think we were just hanging out with the same people and going to the same shows, and he went out with a friend of mine, and she was like trying to hook us musically together. She was like, okay, you two should do something together. And she was right. And then he introduced me into this all this minimal wave stuff. And I really was very amazed by this. And drum machines, how cool, how exciting drum machines can sound. And to that day, I'm also very, I mean, I really love electronic music and I love guitar music.
Right. So it's like a lot of these bands gave you a permission to go just a little bit further.
Yeah.
Are you still in touch with him? Sure.
Yeah, we do sometimes. I mean, we don't cooperate in the same room, but we still have a lot of things going on with Velvet Condom because we get quite often requests for licensing the music for some movies or series, and we recently did also a cover of a Cure song for a Cure tribute compilation for this US label, Cleopatra Records.
Oh, okay.
And I think we keep in touch. We follow each other's career. And he's still living in Berlin as well.
Oh, really? So I was going to ask you a little bit regarding the album, the first time I listened to you, the one you published, Als is Gift, I guess it's called like that, I don't know, 2021. Everything is poison. I think that's what it means, right?
Everything is poison, yeah.
Everything is poison. That album, for me, is like, it's not that much electronics, more a guitar-driven sound on that album. I don't know if there is, I really call my attention so many songs, but there I got a feeling, maybe it's not me, but it seems to me like the way you sing, I thought I was listening sometimes to George Harrison. I don't know. It's like, really sing really well, very harmonic. And there was something there that is like, I don't know, it's not Oasis. It's I don't know, it's more like Beatles. Whatever it is, I really love that album. I don't know. It was like a departure from your previous work, more like a progression, continuation. What would you call that album?
I don't know. I think I wanted to go back to more to my alternative rock roots and having like a real drums and more guitar oriented music. There's still some synths, but not so much.
Right.
And there's a little bit of drum machine, but not so much. But yeah, I think I wanted to go back to my roots. I like the George Harrison reference because I'm a big Beatles fan, of course. And I do, but there's one or two Harrison songs on each album. And I must say, they are one of my favorites each time also. On the album. So thank you for the reference.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that album. Talking about the videos, who's your videographer? Are you the one in charge or of those ideas? Or who comes up with those? Because they're very, I don't know, like so very different from the usual videos that I see out there. But, you know.
Okay, interesting.
Yes.
I usually come up with the ideas, with the concepts, and I try to find people in my entourage who is willing to join me on doing videos with not so much budget, with a lot of creative input. So it's never the same people. There's one person I used to work with for the editing. Who's a really good friend of mine. He's called Anthony Guardou, and he's a filmmaker, and he's extremely kind. So he puts all his creative energy to make this low budget videos I do look a bit more high end.
They look great. Some of them are like dreamy and also dramatic, but I really love those videos. I was going to ask you that regarding your writing. Could you say that you are a fearless musician, just expressing your point of view, or you keep some stuff out of the listener when you create when you write a song? It's like, are you 100% truthful to what you write?
What do you mean? You mean if it's biographical or
yes,
if it?
Because it seems like when you write, it's always something regarding your personality, right? I guess
it's right. Part of your personality. It's. I wish I could write like a novelist, for example, and create characters like the Beatles did, or I don't know who did this also. Blur was really good at that, Damon Albarn. And I've heard, I think very good songwriters are able to do this, like to create characters. I'm still not there. I might get there one day, but for the moment, yeah, I need to sing about what I have in my heart, and that comes, that is very close to my life experience.
But I'm trying, it's like, you don't put on like a mask and
I just put a little bit of makeup.
Just a little bit.
A little bit of makeup, yeah.
You treat many subjects in that album. You talk about so many different things, things that I guess worry you sometimes. Do you mix a lot of things from your past also going to those, the way you write about you?
Yes. Yes, the Alice's Gift album is very, very intimate, I must say. Yeah. There's... if you can read between the lines, you can go get very close to my identity and to my feelings. And yeah, it's maybe it's a therapeutical
therapy for you.
Yeah.
There is a song that I listened to, but I for some reason it disappeared out of the. And went up in the ether. I don't know what happened to that. I was going to ask you regarding the song, The Last Prey. It's a great song, but I cannot find it anymore. Is there?
Ah, okay. That's interesting. Yeah. That is actually a song that is intended to be on a new album that I'm working on right now. And we still play it live, but there is no album version. Yet. Okay. And until there is no real album version, I decided not to keep it to keep the live version online, because it might change I might change a little bit the version. But yeah, this was a song about that I was inspired by the Me Too events happening with Marilyn Manson.
Right.
It's more or less about this case.
Yeah, it was when I heard about him, and I don't want to talk about this stuff, but I really enjoyed his music, but I don't know.
Yeah, me too. That was the whole disappointment about it. Yeah,
right.
Not only because of the victims, but also about you feel betrayed at some point because as a music listener anyway.
Yeah,
I can talk about this, but if we go there, it might be a very good discussion.
Yeah, I know we could talk about so many things, but.
No.
I was going to ask you regarding your writing do you write in silence, or is there a music background, music playing in the background, or it really makes no difference for you when you write? Or it's got to be very quiet?
No, if I write, I have my guitar, and I need some vocal effects. And to create an ambience, I need to feel like I'm playing in a big room, something like that. I mostly like to have a lot of effects already when I'm writing.
Okay.
So I'm not the guy who writes with an acoustic guitar. I need to have the room.
Okay, you need the so it's not that easy for you to write a song. I mean, it's not automatic.
It is not automatic, no. But if I have the right conditions, it pops out very easily, I must say.
I don't think it's your purpose to make people uncomfortable with your writing and music. It's not your purpose, I guess. It's just to express yourself. I don't know.
Do you have the impression it disturbs a little bit?
Sometimes. I'm talking about me, myself.
Please do. I'm interested.
I don't know. It's just the sounds, the mixture of sounds and your the way you sing. It makes me sometimes...
uncomfortable?
A little uncomfortable, but I don't know how to explain it. It's just something in my head, I guess. There are some musicians that make me uncomfortable one day. Not everything, just parts of the composition, the structure of the song. I don't know. I could not explain it, but there are parts that, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, Nicholas, but for me, sometimes when I listen to a song, it's like I don't feel 100% comfortable. I don't know. I don't know, Alice. It's or Nicholas. It's, for me, I enjoy it. It's not that I don't enjoy it. It's like it's part of it, but it's not. I don't know how to say it.
Well, it was not intended. That's for sure. But if it does, I cannot change it. Yeah.
It's not like
I don't know if it's good or bad.
No, it's good. It's good. It's not. I'm not talking about the writing itself. That you're mentioning things that I really don't like, or maybe that's traumatic for me. It's not that. It's something. I don't know.
Sometimes I have the impression it's maybe a little too intimate.
It could be. I don't know. It could be. I don't know.
I don't know.
Whatever it is, I enjoy it.
Okay. let's keep it like that.
Let's keep it like that. I was going to ask you, you've been playing also a lot of shows lately. All this past summer, you've been all over the place. But you got a partner now that she wasn't part of that album, right? Jamila Paris?
Yes.
Was she Jamila part of...
Yeah. Is my girlfriend and my partner in this project now. That's her.
Yes.
So that's the new record, by the way.
Oh, that's what it is. I seen the photo, but I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Oh.
So this is her, and yeah, she was there at the very beginning of my solo career, and she did support me a lot, and at some point she was like doing also the lights in the beginning of my shows. And after a moment, I said to myself, "This is too bad not having her on stage." Yes.
So she could do more than just lights.
It would be much nicer to share this project with her, and so she first played electronic drums on stage with me. And then when I decided to have a full band with drums and bass, so she switched to keyboard.
Keyboard, yeah.
And now it's now we're having this duo formula, and she's playing keyboard and I'm the guitar player, and we have some machines doing the backing tracks.
So I guess she plays a major role now in your project. It's not a personal project.
Definitely, yeah. She supports me in many ways. Yeah, she's taking care of some graphic work also. Hmm. And I mean, I've never wanted to do a solo project only by myself, like a one-man live act. I never got excited about one guy or one woman on stage only. It's there's missing something. I like to share also.
Is that the new album? Is it coming on October the 20th? I'm not sure.
Yes, it's coming out on October the 20th.
It's called Nothing Against Uplifting, comma, yeah. But what are they trying to, what's the meaning of this title? What's behind this title?
It's very easy because the new record is much darker than the previous one. And And so it came up to my mind, it's like, okay, I have really nothing against uplifting. I like uplifting moods and songs, but, and then you can complete the sentence as you wish. I can complete it the way, I don't know, nothing against uplifting, but there's also a lot of darkness that needs to get to be expressed as well.
Is that the latest single you just put out? Not a couple of weeks ago, maybe. To Live and Die in LA. Is that part of that video track? It's really cool also. Is that part of this album? I guess, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's the first single.
How many songs you got on this new album?
It's a short album. It's a 7 track album. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I think times of 10, 12, 15 tracks album are a bit passé. And I like going straight to the point. And, you know, when you do short albums, then there's less risk that there might be album fillers also in there. Most, it's not possible to have 12 tracks that are equally good.
Right. It's, for all of them to be really great, it's going to be one of the best albums of the decade, I guess. like on this album, is that you always, when you start, it's like, we need the first song. It's like, is there you really looking for the best song to be in always at the beginning, or it really doesn't matter which one goes first or second?
That's an interesting question. You mean on the track list, right?
On the track list, it's like we need the first track song to be this, or really doesn't matter. Unless it's a concept album, that will be different.
It's interesting because the ways people listen to music today is changing a lot. So they will probably not go track by track, like starting from one and ending with the last track. So I like when the first track is something a bit more atmospheric, something that is more like an intro song, something that is not extremely catchy, and then come with the strongest track on number 2. And then you have also the thing with the vinyl also, you have 2 times a first track. There's one first track on the A side and one first track on the B side. So this is also something you have to consider.
Cover, that album cover that I just seen, it remind me of my youth when I was like 10 years old, and I had those little, in my little town, they came usually all those feasts, they call it summer feasts. They had all the, usually they were gypsies that had all those amazing, you know, games and shooting thing. They're all gypsies, and reminded me of that time. I was afraid of them. I don't know why.
Yeah, it has, and this is why we wanted to. We did this shooting on this feast in Germany because it has something very strange. It's very, very superficial. Everything is there's a lot of glitter and glance and pink and strong music, and it's like over uplifting, I would say, and it's. And it's so much that on the other side, it's like with the same feeling you have with clowns, you know, in a circus, you know, it's like just over the top, and it makes you scared in the end.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much of fun, too much of excitement that it cannot be true.
When you are on stage, Nicholas, are you a talkative person during your shows? Do you speak between songs, or you're more like silent? I haven't seen any of your shows, so I don't know.
That's a good question as well. I mean, all your questions are good, but it's interesting because I don't get answered so much this question. Although people used to tell me at the end of the shows sometimes, yeah, you should talk more. And because I know people are expecting this. When I'm in the audience, I like when there is some talk. That, I mean, the first time a singer is talking to the people, like on a more personal level, then you can feel that the show is taking a much more intimate and stronger direction. And I'm not very good at that. I must be honest with you.
Okay.
Because there is something like a persona that is created on stage. Mm-hmm. And to go back to the private me is not... I don't feel it.
You don't feel it. You don't talk between your songs. You don't explain what they are about or nothing like that?
I do sometimes. I do. But... I think I need to prepare it a little bit. Mm. If I'm much too nervous.
Do you get heckled shows? You know, drunken hecklers like I don't know, play AC/DC or play Freebird or some bullshit like that, crazy.
Yeah, sure.
You get those.
Yeah, of course. And to be honest, I like when something is happening in the audience. What I don't like is when it's total silence and.
And you're not sure if they like it or not. It's like...
Yeah, and even if someone is shouting something, even if it's a mean thing, then at least there's a connection happening, which I like.
I was going to ask you regarding one of the songs of your Else is a Gift. Blue is Not My Color, which is... you're talking regarding politics. Is that a type of politics?
Yeah,
you're mixing something in there with the color blue. Oh.
Yeah, it's a song about. It was interesting because a couple of years ago, the French right wing party renamed their party as Bleu Marine, which means marine blue. And they used the color as a marketing tool. And I had the impression they took it. I mean, the only blue was actually the color of the European flag. Mm. Still is. And I had the impression that all these populist parties in Europe were actually anti-European parties from the beginning, then suddenly realized, we cannot go back, and Europe is the present and the future, and we need Europe. Otherwise, we won't. The people who vote for us, they also want Europe on an economically level. So they try to appropriates the color blue for marketing purposes, and I made this a bit up in my song. It's like, yeah, you stole the color blue, and it's interesting because recently the conservatives in Germany, which is the biggest party here in Germany, they changed their color into like some bluish turquoise color, and I was like, okay, there's something about the blue that is appealing for conservative voters.
Same thing in Spain, the conservative party, the right wing party, they have blue in their logo.
That's
that's why it got my attention also. I don't know what's the blue. I love the color blue, but I don't know what's going on with this blue being like a right wing leaning color. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's like if the wolf wanted to be dressed up as a sheep, you know.
Yeah.
And anyway. Okay.
Well, we could talk about politics in Germany and the Green Party in Germany, which I don't think is a Green Party anymore. But I don't know. So I don't know what the blue is all about, like you were mentioning, but. It's one of my favorite colors, but I may go back to black. I guess.
Yes. It confuses a bit the voters about the real intentions of the party. Yeah. That's and I'm going to finish on this.
Yeah. You're going to have a party releasing regarding the album. Is the 20th, October the 20th. I think you're going to do at the 8mm. It's 8mm bar, which is in Berlin, but it's I heard about it, about that place. It's not like a big bar, but it's really, they say it's really a cool place to play music. Did you play before there, at that venue, or it's a place that you visit a lot?
It's an old place that's been there for a while, and it's located in an area in Berlin where it used to be quite alternative, but now it's completely gentrified and there's only like big stores, sneaker stores, and all around. So it's like it's one of the last places where you can listen to alternative music, and it's really nice place, and the people who run this are also running this festival called Synesthesie Festival. There's this little psych rock, shoegaze, velvet underground-ish scene going on there. And Anton Newcomb used to live above the bar. He was part of this scene a little bit, yeah.
So you're going to be there on October the 20th?
Yes.
Around 8 p.m., I think, more or less.
Yeah, exactly.
They close at 4, I think, more or less. Probably, yeah. So it's plenty of time to do things over there. I was going to ask you regarding composing, and I don't know if you agree with this, to compose a song, all you really need is a cool melody, and then you, from there, you can do whatever you want. Will you agree with that?
I need a nice chord progression. Then usually comes the melody, and then comes the structure of the song. Then sometimes I take different compositions and put them into one composition. And then it's more like a Lego playing, putting things together.
If your music represented an ideal or a philosophy, what would it be?
Would music be a philosophy?
If it represented something, what does it represent? Freedom? I don't know.
Yeah. Imagination. Fantasy. Yeah, it's like a safe space where you can do whatever you want and express yourself as you want, and before it goes to the public. I think, yeah, there's two phases when you're creating. There's the phase when you're just on your own or with your bandmates. And this is like really a safe space where you feel completely free and do whatever you want. And then comes the part when you present the songs to the audience through a record or a live performance. Then it's a complete different story.
So when you, I'm very interested on the way you write, but when you finish, or you think you're done writing a song, or you think it's done, do you show it to anybody else? Or you think there is nobody that can put any input on this? This is it.
My partner Jamila, she would say something about that. She's complaining sometimes that I don't share the work in progress.
Okay.
And because I really need to be 100% convinced by what I do. And it's only me who can give me this confidence. Okay. And I don't want anybody to interfere, because then it might create either a doubt, or it will create some confirmation that it might be good or finished, but I'm the only one who can judge if it's good enough or finished or whatever. Mm-hmm. I usually play the song at the its very last stage, when I need when I think I cannot put anything into it anymore. I need someone else to take over and to say, oh yeah, this is not working, or something is missing here.
So I guess you're more flexible regarding the music, but not the writing. With other, it's like you could take suggestions for other people regarding the music structure, but not the way you write. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. And I think at the end of my collaboration with Olivier, I think I was very a bit bossy, I would say, because I had a strong vision of how I wanted to sound, I think he realized before I did that I needed to do something on my own, because I was too much control-y on things. Something you cannot be in a band. In a band, you need to collaboration. Otherwise, it's not a band anymore.
Mm. So you're gonna have a lot of. Well, you've been playing a lot of shows, but you still got at least some more to go. Right after the record release, you're gonna be playing in France many shows, I believe.
We're going on tour, and we're opening for Clan of Zymox.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a couple of shows in France. Yeah, we've never played so much in France, I must say, so I'm very excited about that.
Yeah,
and looking forward.
Yeah, you're gonna be playing the whole month of October.
Exactly.
In Lyon, Marseille, you're Strasbourg, I guess. Have you ever played I have a question. Do you ever make it to Spain? I don't think so, right? You never went to play
with Alice Gift, no, but with Liste Noire, which was the new project after Velvet Condom.
Right.
We played with Clan of Zymox. That was in Barcelona and Madrid.
Oh, okay. Have you noticed a lot of difference between different countries that you play, or more or less the audience is about more or less the same? Like, is there more women than men? Is there like a specific audience that you notice when you play that they're always there?
No, it's quite mixed. We play a lot of. I think people have are more or less our age. I would say it's mostly people who have some same musical references as we have. Mm. I think.
How long does it take you for you to set up the stage, more or less?
Set up the stage, you mean? Before a show,
how many, like half an hour, 30 minutes?
Yeah, that takes mostly a half an hour to an hour. You don't have much more time to do so. There's several bands on the bill, you need to be quite fast.
Are there any bands that you suggest me to listen to right now? Probably. That you really enjoy listening to them, or you have came across some songs that you love? Maybe I'll get in touch and interview them. I don't know.
You
don't listen to much music?
No, I do. I don't listen to that much music anymore, that's for sure.
Okay.
But I can. There are some friends of mine doing music that I love to recommend. There's a friend of mine called. Uh, uh, K KG.
KG.
So just two letters, okay. K and G. Hmm. I can send you his contact afterwards if you want. And he's doing great music. He's from France, and he does this very nice combination between shoegaze guitars and dreamy electronics.
KG. For some reason, Nicholas, I never thought I was going to interview so many French bands. That wasn't in my plan. I guess I had no, I didn't know much about them, to tell you the truth.
I can explain maybe a little bit. I think French culture has always been a part at some point. With the help of the politics, French culture tried to not get so much influenced by English speaking music, for instance. So there is something specific about the French sound, because it has not been so much influenced by America or UK than other countries like Germany or Italy, where you can really feel that there is a lot of...
For me, it's like there were a lot of hidden secrets that I didn't know about all these bands. I have no recollect, never heard of them before, and they were really cool, but I didn't know about them. They're not popular, I guess, in the United States the way some other bands, you know, that I came across, but I was really surprised. There's so many good musicians in France and Germany.
There is.
Yeah, very, very much so. So that shoegaze, dark wave bands, I have no idea about them before. And I really enjoyed them. So tell me, what's your purpose right now? Not a purpose, but what's the next? You're gonna publish this record, and what are your plans after this? Are you still gonna be I guess you're not gonna be a solo project, you're gonna be always with Yamila is gonna be always a part of it. So you're not looking to play in a band, let's say. Let's call it more like a duo, and then some extra musicians that help you out. Is that your plan right now?
Yes and no. I don't know how things gonna turn out. I must say, I'm missing a bit the to have a full band on stage. Because it's a total different energy to have real drums on stage, and my plan is like for now the release of the actual album. Nothing against Uplifting, but
right.
And I'm already working on a new album that is partly recorded already, and this is more a mixture between like full classic rock drums bass constellation and more wavy electronic side. So it might be the reunion of my two sides on one record.
Okay. I was going to ask you, at this point in your career, do you give a shit if you don't become more popular than what you are at this point in your musical career? Does it really bother you or not? Mm-hmm. Do you always think, you don't think about that?
I would lie if I tell you that I never thought about it. Getting more, a bigger audience with the solo project. I mean, now,
right?
But at my point and my age, I don't feel this pressure anymore so much. I mean, I want to share my music with a lot of people, and people, I'm.
Yeah.
I think there are still a lot of people who don't know about my music and who would like to know about it. And I don't think I might not fill arenas or stadiums with this because I'm not too well with doing compromises. And if you do want to have a bigger audience, you need to do compromises, I guess.
Of course.
To fit the mainstream taste. But no, I'm very happy to do what I do. And of course, if a little bit more people will get to know us and to know my music, I would have nothing against it.
Of course. Like
I don't know.
I mean, you don't wake up in the morning thinking, this is going to be...
No, and I'm not checking how many followers I have now or whatever. Of course, if there's just two people at the show, or it's a bit depressing, of course. I like playing in full clubs, for sure.
Of course.
And, yeah.
Hmm. I think I listened to your album, and I think it was in Spotify. I'm not sure. I was probably listening to Dark Wake, and it came across one of your songs, and that's all it took for me to see what the hell is going on. Who's this guy? Just by the name of the band, I had no idea. But it was a very, very nice surprise for me. To listen, cool.
So I'm happy.
Yeah, I don't know. I love.
Did you know my previous projects before?
I heard of Velvet Condom. I heard about the name, the duo, but I had no idea about any of the songs. To tell you the truth,
okay.
I heard about the name. More okay. That's about it. Like mentioned somebody or read it somewhere, but not. But no. The your solo project is the one that caught my attention. I had no idea. All those songs come, you know, all those songs, Nudity, Glow, all those songs I really enjoy a lot, you know. So great album. And I was going to ask you a question, I forgot. Is there any particular object in your possession that reminds you of your youth? Do you keep anything, or you don't really have anything like when you were like 6, 7, 8 years old? You have, or you don't want any memories from there, from those times? Do you keep something?
I do, but not here. I do have some stuff at my mom's place, but no, I have stuff from my teenager times, but not from earlier times. No. No, it's interesting. It's
I was gonna, like, if you are a hoarder, if you keep all the stuff that you had, like
no. I don't like to keep stuff that I don't use. So, for example, with instruments as well. I know people, a lot of musicians keep everything, and they're right, because at some point. They might use it one day, I don't know, in 20 years, they might want to reuse this particular effect pedal, and they might be happy to have kept it. But if I don't use it anymore, I just get rid of it, yeah.
Oh, okay. So tell me about your social media platforms. I think the best, the one that I always take a look at is your alicegift.com. That's the main website for you, right?
Together. Yes.
And I check you on Instagram also a lot of times, but I guess the best way to know more about you and your career is alicegift.com, right?
I think, yeah, because it's like a kind of headquarter. It's a landing page where you have everything. You have all the social media links that could go from there. You can listen to the music. You can watch the videos. You can buy merch.
Of course.
It's all there.
Watch those videos because they're really cool. I really enjoy their videos.
Thanks.
I always do. And like I said, that album, I don't know. When I listen to an album like more than 6 times, it has something, something for me. So I think it's one of the best albums I listened this year. It's really cool. So hopefully this new album is at least par with the same, which he's saying is not going to be the same. It's more dark and electronic, a little less guitars probably. Nothing against uplifting, but you put whatever you want in there, whatever is going to make you happy. So, I just have to thank for being so generous with me, Nicholas. Thanks so much. I will keep a track of your career.
Thank you, Jose, for inviting me, and it's a pleasure to talk to you. Really, it's really nice.
And hopefully, one day I'll see you playing live.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there is a plan. I mean, there is no date, but we would love to come to New York, I guess, in the springtime.
Oh, really?
So
I'll be around. Okay. I'll be around.
See you around, maybe.
Yeah, we'll go in trouble. Ride a bicycle or something. Do you drive, Nicholas? I have a question.
Yes.
Do you enjoy driving?
Yes, of course. I'm from Germany. People, without cars, would not be the same here. No, but to be honest, I don't care about driving. It's
it doesn't make you riding like a motorcycle.
No,
nothing like that.
The distances here in Europe are not so big. It's not like in the US when you drive, I don't know, you drive a whole day to go from one gig to another.
Yeah. You're not the type that jumps in a motorcycle and goes in the mountains, and you're not that type of person, I think.
No, not really.
Not really. So that's it. I'm done with that, Nicholas. I had a lot of questions, but most of them are really bad. So I just got to keep it for next time. They're really bad questions that I had, and I'm looking at them right now. I'm like, nah. Just keep them. I was going to ask you about other musicians and stuff, but let's forget about that.
Okay.
Don't make him uncomfortable.
Let's keep it short and sweet.
Before it's really bad. So thank you very much. Thanks to Nicholas, and see you again next week.